We had two, I think, really good, productive meetings with a few folks from the county. The county state's attorney was there, and the chairman, and representatives from the auditor's office. And I think we, everyone kind of agreed on a plan that they'd recommend to their respective bodies. And that's kind of what's happening tonight. And then the county, I think, is meeting tomorrow. One thing I wanted to mention, because, you know, I have an obligation to you as a school board, and I need to inform you of your legal requirements. You know, before I got involved, the school had already, you know, publicly agreed that it would refund taxpayers for the last 4 years. And then I got involved and took a look. And then, you know, after the issues with the county kind of came to light as to how it would be repaid and that whole process, when I took a look, I don't think you're legally required to repay or refund the over levies at all, not voluntarily, just to be clear. That being said, you as a board have already publicly announced you have. I think you might have taken action on that. We'd have to go through rescissions and deal with that if you don't want to do that anymore. But everyone's under the impression that you do. And so at the meeting with the county, the idea was, okay, how many years are we going to go back? Because then in the county's letter, they had said 3 years, and you guys originally had said 4 years, and we wanted to know what's the appropriate number. Everyone agreed that 4 years could be done. The county could figure out those amounts, and it wouldn't be too terribly much more work to do that one extra year. And so I believe you'll hear from Superintendent Johnson that is the recommendation to go back and refund for 4 years. Like I said, you're not legally obligated to do that, but you can go back and refund the taxpayers. So that was one portion of our meeting with the county, how many years. The other portion, the biggest portion, I think, was, okay, what is that process? Because the school had thought, you know, the last time we talked, the school had thought it had a process, and the process was, we're not going to levy taxes for this current school year, and then we're going to reduce our building fund levy for the following year to kind of make up that difference for the last 4 years. And then the county said, no, we shouldn't be doing that. So after everybody took a look and we met with the county, the process is that they will, or that, you know, we're recommending to you all to approve, and then they have to go talk to their board as well. But we're recommending that the county go back, figure out who's due the refund. They issue the check to the refund, and then turn around and send a bill to the school district. That's the proper procedure, in my opinion, legally. If you're going to refund taxpayers, the school district, in my opinion, cannot, you know, just take out your checkbook and approve writing checks directly to taxpayers. There's the checks and balances and the county auditors involved by law in collecting taxes and in refunding taxes. I don't think you can, nor definitely you shouldn't be writing checks directly to taxpayers. So we got the county, the folks that were in that meeting, on board with that, you know, they'll be the ones issuing the actual checks. They're the ones that have the information as to who to write the checks to. And then they also asked if the district would be willing to cover the cost of stamps. That's estimated probably around $2,000 or less dollars. We talked about the fact that probably could not come from your building fund. It would have to come from your general fund. But in the scheme of things, you know, it's not a huge amount of money by any means, $2,000. So that is part of the recommendation as well. Again, from a legal perspective, I do think you can do that. And if you're going to want to refund the taxes, I think that's the most appropriate way to do it. So again, that meeting was very productive, and we figured out a game plan as to how many years both sides would be comfortable recommending to their respective bodies, and the process, which from my perspective was the bigger ordeal. You know, the county had thought, well, school just write these checks, and after we talked about it, I think they agreed that's not the correct process, that they're going to have to write the checks. One thing I wanted to address as well is what came to light from the state after we got to see the state letter that it sent to the county, it referenced four prior years, like starting back in 2010, quite a few years ago, 2010, 11, 13, and 14, I think it was, where there were like smaller amounts of overlevied numbers there. We had talked to the county, and nobody at the school and nobody at the county believed that the school district actually levied more than 10 mills. In your certificate of levies, the intent was 10 mills for those years, but because of the mill levy system in this state, you know, you guys get a valuation of a mill, an estimated valuation of a mill from the county auditor at a certain point in the year. You base your certificates of levy off of that. And then when it comes time to actually collect taxes, you know, you get that value, but sometimes the mill value changes. And that's why we see those different numbers there. Nobody at the county thought there was any intent from the school to levy more than 10 mills. And nobody from the school believed there was either back in those, you know, older years. There's certainly no obligation to refund those. And probably if you went back and looked, you've probably gotten under, you know, mill levies for several years too, just because of the way that mill system works. The estimate is never exact. When you actually collect, you might have gotten 9 point something for a few years. So we're not recommending going back to those older 4 years. We do believe the school correctly levied its 10 mills as allowed for the building fund in those years. And the county and thought, you know, going back that far could be incredibly difficult just to try to gather that data, and it would be a whole lot of work, and those numbers are pretty small to begin with. So the recommendation, and I'll let Josh speak to that, but it's going to be for the 4 years and for the district to cover the cost of the stamps to send the refund checks.
We've had a number of individuals that have spoke to us and have said, keep the money, we don't want the money back. What's the proper way of being able to address that?
The county is going to issue them a check. You know, they're going to issue everyone a check that's due a refund. They're going to determine who is owed the money through the refund process. They're going to issue the check. What we don't want is for people just to not cash it. They're going to bill the school district for the total amount that they're sending to folks. If people don't cash it, it eventually would have to go to unclaimed property and sit there for a while until somebody claims it. It's not like that money would ever come back to the school. So if somebody, you know, wants to give their money to the school and doesn't want this refund check, my recommendation is they should cash the refund check, sign it, and then they can make a donation to the school for the building fund or for whatever purpose they want. But for this, it would be, you know, for the building fund, and they could make a donation.
The question was brought up about, and this is probably a question for Bill, but I'm trying to recollect again. I think there was a statement made on when the county is planning to, once this plan would be approved by both the county and the board, when the county was planning to write the checks.
So Beth was at that second meeting with us, and she, you know, as maybe some of you are aware, but she's retiring, I believe, but she did agree to, at least at our meeting, she said that, you know, she would plan to stay on to help the county auditor's office finish this process, but they would still have to figure out that fourth year, and they would still have to go through the actual writing of the checks. So I think she said it would be, you know, several weeks. She wouldn't give a deadline, which I totally understand, but that they don't want this lingering for very long. There is no set deadline in the law, so whenever they do it, they would send us a bill.
Rachel, I know that there was CenturyCode that spoke to a refund application process. So the question is just, do we believe that we're following CenturyCode as it relates relative to this refund plan?
So there's nothing spelled out in CenturyCode as to refunding taxes like we are, like the where the political stuff, like the school district, has made one large error that affects all taxpayers. There's nothing in the law specifically that spells that out. And the county had talked to other counties that had dealt with this in the past, not exactly this issue, but had dealt with something similar, who also had reached out to the, in some cases they reached out to the attorney general, and in some cases they reached out to the state tax commissioner. Everyone agreed that, you know, you go through your processes as you see fit, essentially. but it is my opinion that you can voluntarily do this. There's no specific process laid out in statute as to how to do this. The only other avenue, if you chose to do nothing, would be for individual taxpayers who believe they've been overtaxed to file petitions or applications with the county arguing or claiming they were overtaxed. And then the county has to give them a hearing, each individual, and there'd be an entire process. And the county would be completely overwhelmed if 3,000 taxpayers did that, or even 100 taxpayers did that. It would be an incredibly daunting process. And nobody has that intent to throw it onto the taxpayer to, you go fix this issue if you want to. The school district had, from my account and from my review of minutes and everything else, the school district is the one who said, we are going to make this right. And this process, in my opinion, is making this quote-unquote right with your taxpayers.
Rachel, maybe again, just to reiterate, I know you had said this earlier, but why is your recommendation, again, with this, not to go back and refund the overlevy from 2010, 2011, 2013, and 2014?
Right. Everyone believed that the district did actually levy its 10 allowable mills for the building levy in those years, or building fund for those years. It's just because the way the mill levy system in North Dakota works, that you're basing it on an estimated value at one time, then you do your certificates of levy, that you never get an exact valuation. And there likely have been years where you've been under levy and you didn't go try to seek, you know, those several thousand dollars to catch up to your 10 mills either. So I assume every political sub would have the same issue, that you're not getting your exact 10 mills, but that was the intent and that's what was levied. So I'm not recommending you go back beyond the 4 years. 4 years, it seems pretty clear that the district did intend to levy more than 10 mills. You thought you could, you've learned you can't, but those other years you did levy 10. And the county did, you know, mention that it would be incredibly difficult to try to figure that out. You know, now we're at 13 years ago